Let us stand together and pray responsively the prayer of confession. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. What words of assurance are given to us today?
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. They are new every morning.
Indeed, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord.
Thank you, singers, for a beautiful message in music. As I look at the clock this morning, I'm reminded of something that R.G. Lee said to his minister of music soon after he arrived at that great church in Memphis. The minister of music had gone in to see Dr. Lee to ask him how much music he liked to have in the service. And Dr. Lee said, well, I love music, and it means so much to the service, and I don't know how I could preach very well if we didn't have good music in the service. But now you've asked me, you have all of the singing you want in the service, but just save me 50 minutes. So I'm glad you've saved me 50 minutes here this morning. There is a growing demand today for an emphasis on the church in the world. The demand simply is that we remind ourselves that we the people are the church. And that whether we are gathered in the meeting house or scattered in the world, we still are the church. And we ought to be the church, whether we are gathered in the meeting house or scattered in the world. And I'm turning for our scripture this morning to a very familiar passage that speaks concerning what we are to be out there in the world. I'm reading from Matthew's Gospel, the familiar verses in chapter 5, beginning with the 13th verse. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Over in England in the olden days, they used to hang lanterns in the church steeples at night, and they would hang lanterns in front of some of the houses along the streets. They did this so that people coming that way might not be lost in the darkness of the night. And each evening as the night watchman made his rounds, he would call out, "Hang out your lights! Hang out your lights!" He always did this to remind these people that they had a responsibility to provide guidance for those who might come their way. And many a weary traveler in those olden days would have been lost in the darkness of the night if it had not been for those lanterns burning brightly. I believe that as the Lord looks down upon our world this morning and see so much of spiritual darkness, that his call to you and to me and to Christian people everywhere is, hang out your lights. And just as many a weary traveler in those olden days would have been lost in the darkness of the night if it had not been for those lanterns burning brightly, just so many a weary pilgrim along life's way will be lost in the darkness of this world, in the darkness of sin, because of those of us who have taken the name Christian. but are going along through life without our light shining for him, without our light, without our influence counting for Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But in our scripture this morning, he says, ye are the light of the world. Now, there's no conflict in those two scriptures, although it might seem so at first. It's always seemed to me that Jesus was saying something like this. I stood one day at your heart's door and knocked, and you opened the door of your heart and life and let me come in, and I am the light of the world, and when I came into your heart and life, I brought light. And now henceforth, ye are to be the light of the world. The Apostle Paul reminds us that once we were darkness, but that now we are light in the Lord, and he says we ought to walk as children of light. I believe we need to realize, you and I, that if the great masses of the people are ever to come to know the great truths of God, if the great masses of the people are ever to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, it will be as you and I and others like us let our light shine for him, as we let our influence count for Christ. Now, anything that gives light is going to be seen. In fact, I do not know of anything that's harder to hide than light. And Jesus said we would be like a city on a hill that could not be hid. We are going to be seen. And Jesus made very clear that we ought not to try to hide our light, but that we ought to let it shine abroad unto all that are in the place, like a candle on a candlestick or a lamp on a lampstand. Surely God did not make you to be the light of the world and make me to be the light of the world and then desire that we hide that light under a bushel. I remember when I was a small boy, and that's been several years ago now, on a farm up in the state of Illinois. My daddy and I used to go out early in the morning and late at night to do the chores. We used to carry one of those old kerosene lanterns with us as we went about our work. We used to refer to this old lantern giving light along the way. But you know, that old lantern really gave no light at all. It was simply a receptacle to hold the fuel and a globe or a chimney to reflect the light that was burning on the inside. And I've come to believe that you and I are to be something like that. We are simply to be vessels for the indwelling Spirit of God. And our lives are simply to reflect the light of God that burns on the inside. And just as we used to speak of that old lantern giving light along the way, just so you and I are to give light along the way and guidance to all of those with whom we come in contact. Now I want to focus more precisely on that 16th verse, this great old text. And notice two or three things that I believe are in this old text for us this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, that there is in this old text a personal command for each one of us. Jesus says rather pointedly and rather personally, you let your light shine. And I'm afraid sometimes we become so concerned about what other people are doing or are not doing that we may fail to take a good look at our own lives, at the way we are counting for Christ. And I believe Jesus is saying here that your primary concern is to be with your own life, with your own light, with your own influence, not someone else's. Do you remember the experience that Simon Peter had with the risen Lord when the Lord asked him three times if he loved him? Lovest thou me? Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. And he asked him the second time, lovest thou me? And he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And again he said, feed my sheep, care for my lambs. And he asked him the third time, lovest thou me? And Peter said, yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And again he gave him this task to do. And you remember Peter looked around and saw John standing off just a little way. And he said, but Lord, what about him? Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And I believe Jesus was saying, Peter, you need not be concerned about what John is to do. I'll take care of what John is to do. You just see that you do what I have asked you to do. And I believe that same emphasis is in this great old text. I believe Jesus would say to you and to me this morning, you let your light shine no matter what others may do. You let your light shine. You let your influence count if it's the only influence that's counting for Christ. There'll be many times when there'll be no influence for God unless you let your light shine or I let my light shine. I remember hearing a preacher say to a congregation some years ago, you are not very important to God, for if you do not do what God wants you to do, he simply will get someone else. I think that preacher was wrong. I'm rather persuaded this morning that God can get along without me, and I'm rather sure he can get along without you too. But we are important to him. There isn't anyone else in the whole world who has the same abilities that you have. There isn't anyone in the whole world who has exactly the same associates that you have. There isn't anyone in the whole world who will be at exactly the same place at exactly the same time as you. And if you do not let your influence count for Christ, no one can take your place. We are important to God. It seems sometimes to me that there are a lot of quick change artists in our churches today. I think maybe you know what I mean. These people are in church on Sunday morning, and it appears that their light is shining brightly for God. They act like Christians. They talk like Christians. Their influence is strong for Christ. But then they leave the meeting house, and they go back out into the world. And it seems that they switch that light off, and they turn their influence off, because they go about doing things and saying things that Christian people ought not to do and ought not to say. Now, God wants your light to shine for him in your church. He wants your church to be a literal lighthouse in the midst of the community. But he wants your light to shine for him in your home too. And someone has said that the light that shines farthest shines brightest at home. And I'm rather persuaded this morning that if we're not careful, it will be those who love us the most and whom we love the most who will see us at our worst. And God would say, you let your light shine. You let your influence count for me in your home. You let your influence count for me in the classroom, on the campus, on the job. Wherever your life touches another life, you let your influence count for me. I do not know whether you've ever been up high at night and looked down upon a city or not. I've flown over many cities at night. But there have been several times in my life when I've been privileged to stand in a place where I could look out over a whole city at night. And in each of those experiences, I've had essentially the same thoughts. I believe the first of those experiences was a good many years ago when I was in school in Nashville, Tennessee, going to college. And back in those days, I remember on the campus of Peabody College in the winter, the smoke would settle down into the city and you could hardly see across campus for the smoke. I stood one night on a hilltop on the outskirts of Nashville and looked down upon that whole city and saw it at night. Many years later, we flew into Mexico City on our first trip there, and I'll never forget that arrival. We were flying in just after sundown. The lights had come on all over the city. We flew in over the top of the mountains, and then all of a sudden, way down below us, surrounded by mountains, was this huge city with all of the lights on. I stood on a high spot one night with one of our missionaries and looked out over that whole city. And he said to me that night, Scud, I believe if you were to cut my heart open, you'd find a map of Mexico on the inside. I love this city and Mexico for Christ so much. We stood there and looked out over the city, and I had essentially those same thoughts again. If you've ever looked down upon a city at night, you know the heart of the city is just a glow. You can't even separate the little individual lights. It's just a glow. And then reaching out from the heart of the city are those main streets and the freeways and the white ways. And then beyond that, a little sprinkling of lights, and beyond that, all darkness. And I thought as I stood there and looked down upon the city, this must be essentially what God sees. As he is able to look down upon our world and see spiritual light and spiritual darkness, he sees those places where there's much influence gathered together for him. He sees this glow this morning here in chapel. He sees the gathered churches, sees that glow in the churches and the little sprinkling of influence and spiritual light out away from the churches and around the churches. And then beyond that, it's all dark. And in each of those experiences, I felt, as I still feel this morning, that wherever there is spiritual darkness in our world this morning, God wants someone to go and carry the light. He wants someone to go and carry the light. And I'm persuaded that whenever one is willing to go, he will always lead that one into a dark place where he can count for Christ. And lest you think I'm talking about going to some foreign mission field, and that certainly could be the dark place for you, but wherever there's sin this morning, wherever there's sorrow or sickness or trouble this morning, there's a dark place. And you'll not have to look very far to find a dark place to let your light shine and to let your influence count for Christ. And I believe if you are willing to go into that dark place, he will lead you into that dark place. But I'm grateful this morning that Christ did not only command us to go and let our light shine. There is a personal command here for each of us, but he told us how we were to do it. And he makes it so clear. We are to let our light shine through good works. Now, we Baptists do not like to talk about good works very much because we seem to be afraid that someone will think that we believe in salvation by works, and we do not believe in salvation by works. But it seems that Jesus believed that his followers, those who were his disciples, would have lives characterized by good works. Paul seemed to believe the same thing in those familiar verses in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But Paul goes on in the 10th verse to say, your salvation is none of your works. We are God's workmanship. It's all of God. But we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God beforehand purposed that we should walk in them. And so it is through good works that God purposed that we should have in our lives when he saved us, that we are to let our influence count. Dr. George W. Truett was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, for many years, and I believe he may well have been one of the greatest pastors ever among Southern Baptists, maybe one of the greatest preachers, but certainly one of the greatest pastors. And I'm told Dr. Truett used to go down into the underprivileged areas of Dallas and look for people who were in trouble and in need. And when he found someone in need, he did not send for the chairman of the Benevolence Committee. He didn't send for someone else. He had no referral in mind. He would dig down in his own pocket and take care of the need of that one. And Dr. Truett used to say, I want no one to rob me of the blessed privilege of sharing with those who are less fortunate than I am. I tell you this morning, we could stand a lot more of that kind of Christianity in our day. We do not know what this kind of Christianity will cost us. When you commit yourself to let your influence count for Christ through good works, you never know what it's going to cost you today. But it does mean that when you come into the presence of need, you stop and meet that need. It may be just a kind word to someone who needs a friend. It may be an arm around the shoulder of someone who desperately needs some encouragement. It may mean a sack of groceries for a hungry family. It may mean some little shoes for some feet that are cold this morning. We never know what it's going to cost us. But when we go out to be this kind of people and be the church in the world, when we come into the presence of need, we do not send for someone else. We meet that need, and our influence counts for Christ through those good works. Now, Jesus said, if you'll do this, you'll bring glory to the Heavenly Father. No, that isn't really what he said, is it? He said, if you'll do this, you will cause others to glorify God. If we're going to cause others to glorify God by our good deeds, we're sure going to have our motives straight. Jesus said, whatsoever ye do it heartily as unto the Lord. I mean, Paul said, whatsoever ye do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And I believe if we could learn that great truth and put it into practice, where everyone we met we would treat as though he or she were the Lord Jesus Christ, many of our problems, I believe, would be gone if we could learn to live like that. We'll have to have our motives straight. You remember Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And the negative is there too. Inasmuch as ye have not done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, ye have not done it unto me. But if you are to cause others to glorify God by your good works, those good works will have to be approved of God also. And there's one thing sure. You cannot go about all day doing the dark deeds of the devil and let your light shine for God at the same time. Now, I want to go back to that old kerosene lantern in closing. How many of you ever carried an old kerosene lantern? You know, as I get a little older, I'm becoming more and more aware that someday what I remember about that old kerosene lantern won't communicate to anybody. But there's still a few around that have carried one of those old kerosene lanterns. Did you ever see one with a clean chimney? Maybe you called it glow. Well, it might have been clean when you started out. It was if you took an old piece of paper and just polished it. Now, you know I've done it. You don't need any water. All you need is an old piece of paper just to polish that globe until it would shine. And you would have that globe just shining. Trim the wick. Turn it up just right. Have the light shining brightly. And start out with it. And you know what happened. The first little gust of wind that came along, and the chimney became all fogged up with soot and smoke. And it wasn't long until the old lantern was giving very little light. Oh, the light was burning on the inside, but it couldn't get out. Do you know why your light doesn't shine farther than it does? And do you know why my light doesn't shine farther than it does? I'll tell you why I believe it is. It's because we let our lives get all fogged up with sin and secular things. If you don't remember anything else I said this morning, you remember this. The light of God cannot and will not shine through sin and secular things. And if we want our light to shine brightly for God, then we must have our lives so ordered and the globe of our lives so polished that the light of God that burns on the inside can shine out to touch other lives too. You see, I know this morning, it is a deep conviction of my heart that if you are a Christian, that the light of God is in you. My concern is that in a world in which there is so much of darkness, that light of God might be able to get out. And I am grateful this morning that my life and yours can be made white as snow. For when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But when you've had that cleansing, be sure you order your life so that it is filled with good deeds. And as you come into the presence of need and you stop to meet it, that individual will look up into your face and say, "What is it about you anyway that you stopped? So many have passed me by today, and you stopped to help me. What is it about you?" And then you have the opportunity to tell the individual about Christ and how he loves you and loves them, and God gets the glory, not you. Those occasions become occasions for witnessing to God and to what Jesus Christ can do for them. And so the simple message that I believe is in this old text, Matthew 5:16, for you and me this morning is just this. Hang out your lights. Hang them out wherever you go today. Not just in chapel. Hang them out wherever your life touches another. Let your light so shine in such a way that men and women and boys and girls will see your good works, and seeing your good works, glorify not you, but your Father, which is in heaven. Our Father, we thank thee for this day. We're grateful for the privileges that are ours to witness to all that Christ means in our lives and what he can mean in the lives of others. Wilt thou just now, as we turn our minds to thee in confession, cleanse us of all of our sins and make us fit vessels for the indwelling Spirit of God. And then lead us today to so fill our lives with good deeds that we do for others, that the Holy Spirit may be able to speak through those good works to the lives of others, and thy kingdom cause may be advanced through our lives today.
These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.